The Gemara in Tanis Daf Tes talks about the hydrological cycle. Hydra, the Gemara in Sukkah says, Beloshen Yevani is Mayim. Pri Eitz Hodor, Godol called Mayim. The Esrig needs a lot of water. Hadar is Hydra. The hydrological cycle, Omer Rabbi Lezer, Kol Meimis Ha'olam, Me Okeanos Himshavim. Okeanos is the ocean. That's the main source of water. And what happens is the water is never static. It's always moving. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, you put something down, you put it on water, it's not munach, it doesn't stay in one place. We also have a knowledge of simple knowledge. Cold goes up, cold goes down, and heat goes up. If you pack a cooler, you put the ice on top, so the food should stay cold. You want to cook a pot, the fire is on bottom, because the heat goes up. The sun beats down on the ocean, and it gets little tiny droplets, it's called vapor. Vapor means tiny drops. And it goes up, and that becomes clouds. And the water, as it goes up and up and up, it forms a cloud. And Mashiv Haruach, Marid HaGeshem, the wind blows, and the water, the clouds, travel. The Sfardim have a minhag. When they say Mashiv Ruach Marid HaGeshem, what do they say? Livracha. Because if the rain comes down in the proper place, it's a bracha. If it doesn't, it's the opposite. So the very high is cold. The altitude is very cold. If you have it in a plane and you see on the screen, they tell you the outside temperature is very cold. So then the water is about to go down because cold goes down. Then where it goes, it could go on impervious rock. It goes on a rock, it changes direction, instead of vertical, becomes horizontal. And then it flows. And what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Kol Necholim Holchem Al HaYam. It goes into the ocean. Hayam Enenu Moleh. Why doesn't it overflow? Because the cycle keeps on. The sun beats down, the water goes up again. Keeps on going in a cycle. And then, what happens if it goes on pervious ground? Where the Gemara says, Ara chalchuli machalchal, the earth has holes, and the water absorbs into the ground. So it keeps on its vertical travel. Goes down as far as it can go. And then if it hits rock on bottom, it changes again horizontal. It goes as far as it can go. Sometimes it'll go completely impervious material, go back into the yam. But sometimes it'll hit rock again. And rock again, can't go any further, goes up with pressure. These are the two different kinds of waters that we see. There's megashomim and there's mayon. Mayon is the water that's absorbed in the ground and then takes another direction. And that's the difference between megashomim and mayon. And of course, it depends where it goes on bottom also. And when David HaMelech had his problem with Amnon and Tamar, Yoav wanted to make him feel good. He sent the Isha Chachomim at Tekoya. Tekoya is a place where they have olives, the best olives. Rosh Lahachkim. If you eat olive oil, it becomes smart. Isha Chachomim at Tekoya. What did she tell him? Tom, the life of a person, kamayim and igorim artsa, like water that flows into the ground. She's going to go and tell him the simple meaning. Is that the life of a person? Mayim igorim artsa. She wanted to tell him it's a cycle. The water goes down. As it goes into the ground, it purifies itself. It filters. When it comes up, spring water is much more pure than anything else. But she also was telling him that that same mayim and igorim artsa, it depends where it goes. Sometimes they'll go and pick up minerals that are very life-giving. Sometimes they'll pick up lo'aleinu, mayim murim. Poison water could also be. She was telling him that, look, this is the way a person goes. You go down into the ground. We have difficulties. It's negative. But you come up again. That's what she was telling him. Under any event, the mayon is that which goes in the ground, and the megashomim stays on the surface. In Parsha Shmini, we learn, Ach mayon ubor mikveh mayim yetoher. So we have two kinds of water that are matahir. One is mayon, and that is bor mikveh mayim. Mikveh means it just comes together. Mayon is it goes with a force. So we learn from this that there are two different kinds. Ach. Whenever you have ach, ach is machalik, makes a difference. Ach bat bash is chetz, separates. So, mayan matar bezochlin, mikveh matar bashbarin. Mayan water is matar, even if it keeps on flowing. And the megashomim, only ashbarin means a bur, it's mikveh, it's held solid, static in one place. That's the difference between mayan and megashomim. And if anybody ever went to mikveh Neitz Yisrael, some of these megashomim mikvahs used by a lot of people, you can tell where it is. And once, when I wasn't by it, begun many years ago, and the Amshon of mikveh, I asked, where is it? Your nose is going to tell you, because it stays in one place. You go to Ari's mikveh, thousands of people use it. It's never a problem, because it keeps on flowing. It doesn't stay in one place. It goes in and out all the time, always fresh. So, when we want to make a mikveh tahara, we have to concern ourselves with these two kinds. In certain places, a mayan comes up from the ground, spring. And that's what you have by Ari's mikveh. But in certain places, it doesn't go up. It goes all the way out to the ocean, in the Yam, underground. And that's a be'er. Be'er is a well. Both of these are mayan. Except the mayan, which generally is called a mayan, comes up by itself. And the be'er is down deep down. So, if you have a place where there's a mayan, not much of a problem to make a mikveh. You just dig out a burr, let the mayan go in there, people go and tovel there. But the problem there is, it's always cold. Very hard to keep it warm. The only way to keep it warm is, it's possible, you can't stop that flow, it's possible to put in a heating system. Now we learned this, that the Kohen Gadol had to tovel on Yom Kippur. And they wouldn't let him be in the committee to determine to make an Ibiyar or not, to make an extra month. Why? Because if you make an extra month, then Yom Kippur comes out in October, and it's cold. You don't make an extra month, it comes out in September, where it's warm. He's in a gay bedover. They wouldn't let him in the discussion. But the Mishnah says they used to put heated iron into that besa parva, that heat it up. So that's possible. So that's if the mind comes up. But otherwise, if you have to go all the way down there, it's impractical, not so easy. So there are ways of...
You dig all the way down, and any water you hit when you dig all the way down is automatically mined?
Yes. Yes.
Whatever you dig, really.
The signs of a mayan is that it's always flowing, and even when there's a drought, it's still there. It still goes. It's not mayan mamachazvin. Chozov means disappointing. Well, you double chozov. So, from the practicality, a mayan is not always practical. Now, down here, there's what they call the Biscayne Aquifer. You dig a few feet down, you get the water. That's a Biscayne Aquifer. And when I first came, I consulted with the hydrological scientists. Where does that water come? It could come from way out in the Midwest, under the ground. Don't know where the source is. But the big problem with the water here is there's so much dirt and pollution going into the ground that the water that you get here is very, very undesirable. It has a bad smell, there's rotting vegetation in it. So we don't use a mayan here. Some places they do. And there was one, the old Rabbi Yoel Satmar came to America, because in Europe they used to do this, they used to make a wooden box and open on bottom and put that into the mayan and be able to walk down. They had to have deep steps. They would do that. But he found an etzah, how to get that mayan water to come up into the mikveh. So he made a air pressure to put the water to come up. Because Yochal Mile Bekosef, the Gemara says, it's the Mishnah in Tzitzis Kahanim. Yochal Mimei, it's the Gemara also. Is it possible to take a bucket and take water from the Gishomim or the Mayan and pour that into the mikveh? Tamiloimar, Mayan Ubar. Ma Mayan Bidei Shemayim, Avbar Bidei Shemayim. If you have any intervention of Koyach Odom or Koyach HaKeli, it's called Mayim Shuvim, you can't use that. So how do you get the they use artesian well there. They found that in Brooklyn. And how do you get it up? They had a 12-inch pipe, put that into the ground, into below the water level, and put a 3-inch pipe also, and had air pressure going down that pushed the water up into the mikveh. That was his hamtzah. That's one way of doing it. Otherwise, over here, it's totally impractical to use mayim. So what we do is we have megishum. So there are a lot of detailed procedures. First thing, the Megid Shamim has to come, not through a keli. If you use any pipe that has an arkuva, that's called already Mayim Shuvim. It's in a keli. It's held. So the pipes from the roof have to be straight. And it should not be going through something that's makabel tumah. Ein maschil medover makabel tumah. So the roof has to be with nothing on top of it except roof. No metal pipes or anything else, because the water should be free flowing into the mikveh. Now, the first time you fill it up, you have to change the water. You don't always have a big oitzer outside to refill it. That's why you have to find oitzers. Now here in Pine Tree Drive, we have an outside oitzer, the length of the building, and it's about 7 feet deep. And very seldom we have to use any, whenever we change the water, we have rainwater. We have enough rainwater to go in straight. But most mikvahs don't have it. There we had the opportunity because the city took over eminent domain, the old mikvah, gave us a quarter acre of land. It was $1 million. We were able to build what we wanted. But most mikvahs, you build a shul, you build a little mikvah on the side. So you don't have that big oitzer on the side. In Zubnitz Mikveh on Rechov Strauss, they have a four-story oitzer, and they use that. So, you have to find an oitzer, how to change the water, but you can't use the city water, that's Mayim Shuvim. So there are two things that we do, either Zriya or Hashoka. Zriya is you plant, you seed. You put a seed in the ground, it becomes part of the ground. So if you take Mayim Shuvim and you let it go into a burr of Megishamim, then that itself becomes like Megishamim, and the water is kosher, and that flows over into the mikveh, and that's how you refill it. But there are a lot of things. You have to make sure, first of all, that it goes hamshocha first. First, it have, before the zriya, you have to have hamshocha. It has to go flow along the ground, at least 3 tefachim, about 12 inches, on karka royal of loya, on not on hard cement, but on earth that it can absorb. So once it goes into earth, that's called zriya. So we have two kinds of zriya. Zriya into the earth and zriya into the water. That's one way of kashering the water. But when you have this, you have to be sure when you pump out the water of the mikveh, it should be completely dry on bottom. Because if you have water going through the pump, it becomes Mayim Shuvim. And if you have a little level of water on the floor of that mikveh, you have Shloisha Lugan Mayim Shuvim, any kind of Megishamim becomes possible. Just like the Mayim, the Megishamim could be kasher, it becomes possible. So you have to make sure it's totally dry, it's bone dry before you do it. Not only that, this Bar Zriya, the original Megishamim, you have to make sure before you let the Megishamim in, it should be completely dry. Now, how do you get the water from the roof into the burr? If you're going to have it open all the time, it'll flood everything. So they take this pipe and it goes straight from the roof into there, and they hold it like this. When you want to fill the burr, you keep it this way. When you don't want to, you move it away so the water goes outside. When you want it to go in, you push it like this. You have to make sure that the water does not come b'koyach odom. It's the opposite of Tilus Yadayim. Tilus Yadayim is dafka koyach gavra. Here it's just the opposite. As an aside, when Tilus Yadayim, the Melech said, Shlomo Melech, Chacham Bani Yismach Libi, my son is a Chacham, I'm very happy. Why was he so happy? Eruva Chatzedus and Tilus Yadayim. Why? Eruva Chatzedus, he said, look, people think that this is a Shesayochid, private property, public property, make a mistake. So it could be, he said, you're never allowed to take anything out into the chutzah. That's not a chachmah. To bring chumras on people that they can't tolerate, that's not a chachmah. Chachmah is, you make the purpose, is people realize it's not a reshusaram, but make it so, they're all one family. That's his chachmah. Now it also, by Tilus Yadayim, he could have said, you have to toivel each time you want to make a mitzvah. Chachma is, take a keli and a tilus yadayim with all those halachas. So that is Zivya. And you have to be careful also. Now what we have over there is the big oitzer is on this side of the wall, and on bottom of that oitzer we have some holes. Now the hole outside that leads outside, we make that 2 inches below the floor of that oitzer. The water that's going to go into the boris, the hole is 2 inches above. Why? If there's any debris like leaves or whatever else it might be, that could go out when we want to clean it. But being that this is above the floor, the debris doesn't go into the water. Because you're not allowed to have a filter. Filter also becomes a keli already. So that is the Zriya. And when we pull out the plug, we have a wooden plug. We want to bring the water in, we pull out that plug. The plug that we use, that's made out of oak. Hardwood is not too good, because hardwood is not a good seal. Soft wood, when water comes into it, it swells and it seals tight. So pine is even better. Pine is softer, but it gets deteriorates very quickly. Oak is soft, it absorbs, but it lasts much longer. Now, the question is, if you're going to pull this plug, is that called Koyach Odom? So what we do is, first, we have Amshocha, Gimel Tvachim, and then this channel here, we have a wall, and then it goes over there again. So any Koyach Odom, we pulled it away, it hits the wall, Koyach Odom is Nifsek, it stops, then it goes further. But even more than that, Al pi halacha, menias ha'ikuv is not considered koyach odom. It's not my power. I'm pulling away that which holds it back. So my force does not make that water flow. But still and all, we look for all sorts of chumers. So we make it so, it's nifsek. It stops, then it goes further. That is ziya. The other part is hamshocha. Hashoka. Shoka is to kiss. And if you have Megishomim and you have Maim Shuvim and they touch each other, that kashes it. So what we do always have the Ziyah and Hashoka. You have two burrs. One is over here. And this burr has a hole on top above the water level, so that when you fill it, it overflows into the mikveh. City water overflows. Hashoka is below. Hashoka, you never pump it out. You never add any water to that hashoka. It just remains the way it is. The big problem is, why? What's the problem with Zriya and Hashoka? We have a big machloikas, Rambam and Ravad, and Rashi and Tosfos and all the other Rishonim. Noson sova notalso. When you kosher the water, the megashamim, and you kosher the maim shuvim, going into the megashamim, and then you pump out the mikveh, then you add more and add more, ultimately the original megashamim are not there. Noson sova notalso. You put in a so megashamim, a maim shuvim, and then you take out. So you displace a saw of Megishamim. So most Pokemon hold that, it's okay. Doesn't matter. That is Zriya. But the Rambam and the Ravad hold a different opinion. So what we try to do is to delay the recycling and the displacement of original Megishamim. That's why I have Hashoka. Hashoka, you never add anything into that Hashoka. But, still in all, Hashoka is open to that water there. There is a certain amount of circulation. So we try to delay the Nosan Sova Notalso by having the Hashoka. There was a Hamtzor of the Marshab. Marshab figured out to try to delay that Nosan Sova Notalso even more. How is that? What did we say before? Heat goes up, cold goes down. So the mikveh water is always heated, and they have the mega shama on bottom, the hashoka, and that's cold. So it deters the mixture. It deters the displacement of the original mega shama. It's not 100%, but it makes it much later. So if you have the, so what the proper thing to do is, if you want to avoid this nosus of an otlso, every few months you take out, empty it all out, fill it up again. That's if you have, like over here, a lot of rain, if you're able to do it. Not always you're able to do it. So when it comes to mikveh, we try to be machmir with all sorts of chumras. They have to have the ziyah and the ashoka.
Why is there so, why pick out all these chumras from the place?
What?
Why is that we are trying to find chumras in the place?
Why? Because this is the mokad of Taras Yisrael. This is the yesod of Am Yisrael. Is the mikveh. And the mikveh on Pine Tree Drive, I designed it. You have six pillars outside. Why six pillars? We're rebuilding. The Kedoshim went away 6 million. The mikveh rebuilds it. So the Yisod of Am Yisrael, Kedushas Am Yisrael, is the mikveh. That's where we're machmer everything. There we're mekel. They once say, you can never find a kosher mikveh, never find a pusel ediv. So these are the chumas. Now here's another important thing. How do you heat the water? So we're not going to take iron ignats and heat it up and put it in. So, and you don't want that there should be any holes anywheres on the wall or the floor of the Beis HaTfila, of the mikveh. So we take coils, copper coils, and come around and around, or like this, and that goes over the wall of the mikveh into a boiler and a pump. So we have hot boiling water going into these coils, and that heats the mikveh. And we have a thermostat and an aquastat to make sure that it doesn't overheat and not too cold. And the pump pumps it. When the pump, when it reaches a certain degree, it stops. When it goes lower, it starts again. And this is the proper way to do it. And what happens is, in the last 30, 40 years, people see you make a swimming pool and they have a filter. Well, the filter accomplishes two things. First of all, the filter, as the water goes through the filter, it heats up. You don't have to have the coils. And also the filter keeps it cleaner. There's a big problem with the filter. This nosens of an otl says immediately. Because it goes right into the filter. The filter's a keli, mayim shuvim. Everything goes straight right away. But they don't want to have a problem with it shouldn't be clean. So, but a bigger problem is, at the time that the filter works, the water is flowing out. It's zoichlin. And zoichlin is posel. So, they have it by a timer. Is the timer reliable? When there's a power outage, the clock is out. How many times do you have a timer for your outside light? You have to readjust it. So, they try to do this. Hisachtas Rabbonim say, no filter. So we don't have a filter in Pine Tree Drive, because we have to accommodate everybody. But many places do have a filter. So they have different eitzes. One eitze is, have a flashing red light when the filter is on. Some places have a buzzer making noise when the filter is on. Some places make it so. When the filter works, the lights are out. These are different ways of trying to prevent that. So the filter, from a practical standpoint, but it's a bit cooler to have a filter. And also in general, you're taking a chance. So you can have it without a filter, it's better. Another important thing is that when they build the burdus, you have to make sure that these walls and the floor are leak-proof. You have to have a special kind of concrete, and also it has to be monolithic poured. When the concrete is poured, it's poured all at once. Well, not mamash all at once. They pour it on the sides, it goes on the bottom. Wait an hour until it settles, pour the rest. But if you wait longer than that, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Ashita, Atika Bechadata Lokoi. There we're talking about when the Shechinim say, well, I'll build, I'll add up, I'll add to that. If you have a wall that's already settled, you put a new one in there, it doesn't hold. So you have a seam over here, room for leaks. So if you pour it all at once, then it holds. And in addition to that, concrete also could sometimes expand and shrink. That's also a problem. So you line it with certain materials that are movable, so if it does shrink, it still keeps it back, there's no leaks. And we have to be careful, every time you change the water in the mikveh, in the burdus, you change the water in the burdus, we let it stay overnight, and we make a line to where the water is, we take a plastic bucket, and fill it to a certain point, and make a line there, and see whether evaporation is the same. Then we know that there's no leaks. And from time to time, we make that inspection to make sure there's no leaks. It so happens that every time a person goes into the water, you take water with you. That's the Mishnah Mikvois. And if somebody walks in, and the Rebbe says, good aches, that the second person, as long as the first person's foot is there, by malas d'rabbanan, we rely on it. So there's not only evaporation, but there's also every person goes in. It depends what kind of a mikveh. A satmar mikveh, a chassidish mikveh, not much water goes out, because women don't have any hair. But otherwise, the hair takes a whole bunch of water out each time. Not only that, I sometimes tell the mikveh lady, you should go in the shetel business, because how much hair you find on the bottom of the floor. So, here again, we have, this is a question of chumras. Al pi halacha, you cannot passel a filter. Because we pass an osus of an otlasa as kosher. But it doesn't have the chumrah of the Rambam and the Ravid.
You also don't have zriya then.
What?
You won't have zriya then, you'll only have hashaka after it goes into the filter.
The hashaka, you have to make sure it's not together. Because if the hashaka is open, then the hashaka water also goes through. So you have to close it each time. So it's always a problem.
You need a new hashaka after the water goes out of the filter, which is what you're saying.
Well, the filter water, the water goes into the filter, and from there it goes into the barazaria.
Oh.
And back into the water. Otherwise, the mom, what?
It goes out of the base tefillah into the...
It goes from shocha back into the zriya.
Oh.
That's how the filter works.
Why not just build a bigger mikvah? Than 40 saw. And you take care of the problem.
There's no question we build it. Many other reasons why we build it more than 40 saw. And the reason is 40 saw is 6 cubic amas, which is about an amma, sholish amas, is the height of a person to the shoulder. That's how 3 amas are. And you have a little space here. And if we go into the water overflows. That's the minimum. We make the mikvahs much more than that. Not a question of 40 saw. The question is, how much water are you going to put in? And if you put in a lot of water, so then you also have a lot coming in and coming out. But al pi halacha, it's mutter. But we try to avoid it. So the best thing we have here is in Pine Tree Drive. There we have, very seldom we'll use city water. A few months ago, there was no rain. It was about 8 weeks with no rain. Then we used the city water with Zia and Ashoka. And we didn't have a problem because it wasn't that much. Now, the other question is, at the time that you have staircase, and you'll notice that the many mikvahs, the bottom stair is much wider and bigger. Why? Because the proper way of tevila is that the water should reach zeres l'malam and atabur. Zeres is a half amma. From here to here, from here to here is an amma, zeres is half. And it should be above the navel, so then the tevila comes out just the proper side. Well, so for an average woman or a tall woman, it's deeper water. If you have a shorter woman, they're afraid to go into the deeper water. So we make it so that that step is large enough to have our bo yimsoh without having the other water to pick it together. This is a question of katafras. Katafras is a waterfall, haldalis, a waterfall that flows. It's not considered a chibur. Nitzik v'katafras is not a chibur. Nitzik is when you pour water out of a pitcher and there's other water on bottom, it's the water on top is not makabel tum, it's not considered a chibur. Nitzik. Katafras, if it goes at a slant. So, if she's going to stand on a step, and there's no arbo yimsoh on that step, the chibur of the water be called katafras. So we have a large enough to be arbo yimsoh, and it's one step above, it's 12 inches above, to accommodate. The other concerns about a mikveh is the color of the water and the purity of the water. It has to be, if the water is so contaminated that an animal will not drink it, it's not kosher for a mikveh. And if it's discolored, it's also not. What is discolored? Now very often you might get some algae and the water will look green. That's considered to be normal color of water. It's not considered discolored. Because it's a bederach hateva, you'll find green water. Sometimes you find blue water, either way. But any other discoloration. We once had this problem. The Moroccan women have a custom, when the kala goes tefillah, they have a whole group of women come and they throw candy. The ones who chocolate in there, it almost discolored the mikveh.
Chlorinated water
is no problem. Chlorinated water clears up the color. An animal can drink chlorinated. We drink chlorinated water. The sink water is chlorinated. If it's the point, an animal can't drink it, it will burn a person's skin. Never put that much chlorine in. But our water is always chlorinated. Now there are many, many other things besides actual structure of the mikveh. And then one important thing is as follows. The Gemara tells us that it used to be they would have Shivus Yemei Nida and then 11 days of Ziva, and they would make it so that if the Shivus Yemei Nida The seventh day, they can tarva that night without any nikiyim. Just that, and they don't have to count shiv nikiyim. Otherwise, you have to keep calendars. Tipis dam kechardel shiv nikiyim. So, the Gemara says, because of that, the tefillah has to be only after dark. Why? Because on the seventh day of the nikiyim, what happens? She sees dam on that seventh day, it distorts the whole thing. She's still a nida. She'll have to wait another 7 days. So she's going to tovel before dark. If she tovels after dark, then she sees nida okay. But if she can tovel before dark, and then they'll be together, and then she'll see later on, with Lav Freya, she was a zova. So the tefillah is only at night. And what happens if it's not on the seventh day, the eighth day? Then it's not a problem. Still and all, Mishum Srach Bita, Gzeda is only to go at night. But here, we make exceptions. If it's a Sakana Shasad Chak, we allow Tevila on the daytime, on the eighth day. And when it comes on the seventh day, most Poskim don't allow. Some are makel that if she doesn't see her husband until at night, then they allow it to go. They do that on a Friday night. We don't go along with that. Very, very seldom. If they want to go Friday night, they shouldn't be with the husband, they shouldn't see them until at night. Very, very difficult. But some people are mako. But that's a big kula. And then again, we have questions. What's going to be if a woman comes to the mikveh? Mikveh Levi, they know who she is. He knows he did right. Stranger comes. What does the mikveh lady do? You don't know who it is. Do they count Shiva Nikim? Then make him a dikas? Are they Jewish? Now we've had this. We made it so we don't allow the conservative or reform to make tefillah for gerim. Don't allow it. So sometimes this rabbi will sneak a woman and go. Go there and teufel. And he'll say that that's the gaitis. So that's why the woman has to be aware and see who's coming in. Some say, let's assume she don't know the woman is Jewish, but look, she didn't make a vedikas, at least let her go. Becomes pritzas geder. If you allow that, then even though you say, well, let her at least go, maybe it was not, it's only chumra the Shimon Hakim, we don't allow it. It's put together. And what we had was originally when we had the first mikveh that we built in South Florida, the original mikveh, the first mikveh in the state of Florida was in St. Augustine. It's still there. It's not in use, but it's still there. Then Jacksonville. Then Key West. First mikveh in Dade County was built in the Tufshians, the early Tufshians, by Jacob Schachter. He's the father of those hotel keepers. That was built during the war. And the sand that they used was ocean sand, beach sand. After about 10 years, 12 years, started to fall apart. We had to rebuild it. So we rebuilt it. Originally, when they raised money to build that mikveh, the Balabata made a condition, should not be geirus shloi kalocha. So, we wanted to rebuild this. We had a committee of the conservative rabbi and the Sal Shif. And this Rabbi Lerman says, there should be achdus. Achdus is very important. So the Mordechai Shapiro of Hasholem, he gave an answer. He said, of course we want achdus. I want achdus with Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina, Zikain Medim, Yanchik Hesek Doyle, Shoinim and Achronim. That's the achdus I want, and all future generations. You are a little wisp of dust in the history of the Jewish people. That kind of achdus, that achdus we don't want. That was a good answer. Well, later on, there was another, we built this mikveh. There's also somebody came to that. He went together with a committee to the mayor and told the mayor that they shouldn't cooperate with the, because the city gave us all this, and they could cooperate with us because we discriminate. We don't allow the Reform Conservatives to use it for the... So the mayor calls me and says, we had a committee. I said, what went on? So he said, this Rabbi Stern said, he was the Rosh Medabrim. He said, Weberman has you in his pocket. What did you answer? You have to be in his pocket, rather be in his pocket than yours. So he calls the city attorney, Feingold. What do you say? He said, Daughters of Israel sold 151 Michigan Avenue to the city. City sold 2530 Pine Tree to Daughters of Israel. Neither one is going to tell them what to do. That was it. So I said, Mayor Gelber, this is Mayor Gelber, out of respect for you, I know my opinion. I'll get all the rabbis together. We'll have a formal meeting. And we'll come a decision and give you a proper decision. I don't want to just ignore you. He says, I don't want to mix in. So I said, give me a letter. And before we have a meeting, I'll send a copy of the letter to all the chaverim. They'll study it. We'll come together. And we all decided, Choshen Mishpat, when the Balabatim gave money for that, gave money on condition you don't use it for gators, for the fossil gators, and Yeredeya, Hilchus Gators. So we all agreed on that. 6 months later, mayor calls me, he says, Rabbi Stern is insane. He calls me from overseas. He wants me to write a letter that I never wrote the first letter. What happened was, one of my chaverim was smart, made a copy of that letter, sent it to every Bez in Eretz Yisroel. He went to Eretz Yisroel and they showed him that. What are you? Under any event, it's something that we were able to overcome. Do we have any questions? Yes.
If you're doing Zaria with 12 inches on the ground on earth, are you no concern that the water is going to absorb if you're not going to the board?
It's hard for me to hear. Could you please repeat it? Repeat it.
If you're doing Zaria,
yes,
on 12 inches of earth, there's no concern that it's going to be absorbed by the earth and not going to the
earth? Oh, no. Because it is not mud. It's just karka royal of loy. It's like sand. So it'll go over it and it flows. When it flows with a force in this direction, it doesn't go downward. That's not a problem.
The